Blog Talk Radio.
Prophecy Quest. This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
To this edition of Prophecy Quake. It is, what is today? It is August the 5th, 2014, and we are live here in East Central Alabama, and I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odell, along with Pastor Billy Painter and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson this evening. I think all three of us will be joining in on the show tonight. Very important subject this evening that we're going to address, the subject of witchcraft and demons, magicians, the supernatural powers of the enemy that have crept in to the church. We're also going to look at accursed objects and some of the stuff that's creeping into the church that's really opening the doorways for demonic activity. We're going to address all of this, God willing, tonight. It's going to be tough. I don't know if we'll be able to get to everything in this two-hour show, but we're going to try to address it. Also, we want to remind you at the outset here that you are welcome to call in with your comments, with your questions, if you have a testimony, something to add, or even a disagreement. We don't mind disagreements. There are disagreements in the body of Christ, but we can talk as brothers and sisters in the Lord and still love each other. But the number is 347-884-8566. It's 347-884-8566. So at any point, you call in, we'll get to you as soon as we possibly can. But tonight, as I said, we're going to get into the subject of demons, witchcraft. We're going to talk about even some a little bit about the magicians that are out there that are getting more and more brazen, more and more bold in the exploits they're doing in demonic power. Many, many people are being deceived. And, of course, this is a prophecy issue because the Bible says, Jesus warned in Matthew 24 and verse 24, he said that in the last days or in that last time when there will be great tribulation, he said that there will arise false Christ and false prophets, and they will show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. That's Matthew 24, verse 24. So it's an important issue. I'm amazed, and what we're going to address too tonight is I get more and more amazed at the Christians out there who want to mock and ridicule other Christians for believing the Bible, for believing what the Bible says about demons, about witches, about warlocks, about magic, about the supernatural side of Satan and his powers. I just marvel. Oh, and even the subject of accursed objects. I don't even get it. I mean, it's all over the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. But we got Christians who laugh and mock when we talk about you bring an object into your home that can bring a demon in with it that can cause your house to be accursed and you to become an accursed thing like it. We're going to get into those scriptures, both Old and New Testament tonight, because one thing is true with us. We believe here, our church, Fighting Grace Church, I've always believed this. 27 years of being a minister, I've always believed the scriptures when it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished. So we'll talk about all these subjects tonight. We're going to do the news here in just a second, but this is your time right now. And I'll tell you, we're going to share some personal testimonies. I've been casting demons out of people for 27 years, ever since really I came to the Lord. My first convert was a young lady who was very high up in Satanism. She was a witch and very powerful. And I led her to Jesus and began to find out what it meant to confront the demonic realm. So I've had a lot of firsthand experience. We're going to talk about some of those things, but of course the scriptures are first and foremost on the subject. And so we'll bring out maybe some things you haven't heard. I will say this, for those of you who think you know it all about this, you probably don't want to listen. See something in the scriptures maybe that you never have seen or that you haven't paid attention to, this is a good night for that. So call someone right now. Call someone, text someone, send someone an email, message someone and say, listen, you need to listen to the show tonight. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare, that we can, through the power and the name of Jesus and through the Word of God and through obeying the Word of God, we can resist the devil. And he will flee from us, but of course we need to do so from a point of knowledge of how he operates, and the Bible gives us a lot of information that we don't need to ignore, because ignorance is not bliss. In fact, I love the verse that makes it very clear, Hosea 4:6, when God said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So it is an important thing that we get knowledge of the scriptures, and the scripture gives so much about how Satan works, how the wolves in sheep's clothing, how the magicians and the wizards come in, and how they use the powers of Satan and the demonic realm against the believers and against churches, and how they manipulate and use those powers to deceive people into following the wrong thing. So we'll be back in just a minute. We're going to do the news. So you stay with us. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. Here on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
These are the news headlines for August 5th, 2014. ISIS takes over two more towns in Iraq. ISIS has gained control of two more Iraqi towns. The towns of Zumar and Sinjar are now under ISIS control. The militant faction has also gained control of the Mosul Dam. ISIS has also taken their first ground in Lebanon. The militants associated with ISIS captured the Lebanese city of Arsal in fighting that began on Friday and it continued through Monday. Operation Protective Edge, Israel and Hamas news. The diplomatic war now begins as Israel's military campaign in Gaza is seemingly over. The ensuing diplomatic process will be grueling and extend for a longer period of time than the 4 weeks of the fighting was. It'll be fought on various fronts. The gaps between Israel and the Palestinian Authority that emerged during the recently failed U.S.-brokered peace talks, they still remain, and if anything, they've only deepened. Russia doubles battalions on Ukraine border to 20,000 troops. The Russians have roughly doubled the number of its battalions near the Ukrainian border. Over the past several weeks, Russia has built up 17 battalions, totaling between 19 and 21,000 troops, into a battle-ready force that includes infantry, army, armor, artillery, and air defense. These units are within a few miles of the Ukrainian border. Two stricken Americans with Ebola have been received in the U.S. for treatment. Many are concerned over the safety of caring for the Ebola victims at hospital facilities. In Atlanta, a hospital wing is being used. Question is that secure enough? There are reports now of six people who are being tested in New York City for Ebola who recently traveled to Africa. Fortunately, all six tested negative. The heightened scare has been interjected by the media, just as the bill that Obama signed concerning sequestering those with potentially respiratory-type ailments. Once again, the dots are being connected and the dominoes are in place to be tumped over. Let's take a quick look at the scorecard. Wide-open southern U.S. borders are ripe with infected people who are freely coming into our country. The media is stirring the masses into the fear factor, and Obama's sequester plan for possible infected people going to secured facilities, internment camps perhaps, and also the epidemic pandemic scenario possibility. Can anyone say, here comes martial law? Can you say coincidence? I strongly think not. Monsanto, the giant GMO thugs, have partnered with the Department of Defense to develop a vaccine for Ebola. Dave Hodges reported on his Common Sense radio show that the Monsanto, or as some people call them, Monsatan, sponsored vaccine will actually kill more people than the Ebola itself. The National Football League, the NFL, today made a stunning announcement that players will receive RFID microchips for the 2014 season. RFID chips will be placed in players' shoulder pads, and they will track their every movement on the field for statistical purposes. Just another reminder that the technology for the implantation of the mark of the beast is upon us. Get ready, folks. The day of your choosing is quickly coming. It's quickly coming upon you. Choose wisely. This has been the news for August 5th, 2014.
This has been Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose. It's all been wave of destruction, the harvest here. It's the reaping, but we will not live in fear. For our time of redemption is coming soon. By divine intervention, we'll see the truth arriving live and direct for all to view. If you haven't read the Bible, I pray you do. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard that, you know the sign. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard that, you know the sign. It's like time speeding up and it seems so fast. And while a month slips by, a year has passed. You hear the same kind of feeling all over the globe. Not sure just what it's revealing, but you're not alone. The same dreams that you're dreaming are all repeating. It seems that while we are sleeping, we're giving meaning. So when it all goes down, there will be no doubt. From the east to the west, to the north and south, there's a big thing coming and it's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake,
and we're back. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host tonight, Pastor Dean Odle, and we're going to get started in this. Again, with me is Pastor Billy Painter, Pastor Kevin Wilkinson, and we welcome those of you listening. Our subject tonight, witchcraft, demons, magic, magicians, warlocks, whatever you want to say, accursed objects. We're going to talk about the supernatural tonight. And, you know, here's the thing. A lot of people think that's weird. And what's so amazing is that a lot of these people who think it's weird to talk about demons or witchcraft or the powers of darkness and how they operate, a lot of those people claim to be Christians. Kevin was on a post last night, a Facebook discussion that went over 200 comments, and dealing with the essential oil issue, and we'll get to that in a minute, but just discussing the demonic side of things, the pagan side of things, the witchcraft side of things. A lot of Christians seem to be finding it okay to delve into the practices of Eastern religions and pagan religions, but then when a Christian starts talking about what the Bible says about those things, immediately you find out that you're the enemy. The Christian speaking the scripture is the enemy, not the one playing with the questionable healing method or the questionable practice that we can definitely trace to New Age and Wicca and all kinds of other things. But let's just talk some basics tonight at first. First of all, if the Bible didn't talk about Satan, fallen angels, demons, witches, warlocks, spells, magic, curses, false prophecy, even false miracles, demonic, satanic miracles that are going to be done to deceive people. If the Bible didn't talk about these things, then neither should Christians. We shouldn't talk about them. Because our job, according to God, and I preached on this Sunday, is from, of course, 2 Peter chapter 4, but God was very plain as he spoke through the Apostle Paul to the young pastor Timothy, and he said, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. He didn't say preach the New Testament only. He didn't say preach the Old Testament only. He said preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. He said reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Why? He said for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, shall turn their ears away from the truth, which is the truth of the Word of God, but and will be turned to fables or myths. Folks, it's important to understand how Satan and the fallen angels and the demons operate. And yes, I said fallen angels and demons. First thing you need to understand is that fallen angels and demons are not the same thing. We'll get to that in a moment. But regardless of that fact, these powers exist. Now, I'm just going to quote this. This is from the book of Revelation, of course, chapter 12 and around verse 7. But there talks about there's this war in heaven between Michael and his angels and between Satan, the dragon, and his angels. Folks, the heavens is the spirit realm. The heavens, there are three heavens the Bible speaks of. There is the earth's atmosphere, our air that we breathe. That's the first heaven. Then there's outer space where the planets are and the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies and all that. That's the second heaven. And then the Bible tells us very clearly in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talked about being caught up to the third heaven, to the throne of God, where he heard unspeakable words that that men ought not to even utter. So we know that there's three heavens. So he talks about their spirits of the heavens. He's talking about that there is a spirit realm. There is an unseen realm that we have to deal with day in and day out. And I'm just going to tell you, one of my pet peeves are these Christians who want to attack other Christians who start speaking about these things that are in the Bible, about demons and so forth, and all of a sudden it's, oh, you're one of those. You're one of those who, you see a demon behind every bush, behind every tree. Well, no, I got news for you. They're not behind bushes and trees. They're on your shoulder. They're in your house. They're trying to break up your marriage. They're trying to deceive your children. They're trying to oppress you and make you depressed. They're trying to make you an alcoholic, a drug addict. They're trying to get you into sexual immorality. They're constantly working, tempting, pushing, imparting imaginations that are from hell. No, they're not hiding behind bushes and trees. They're constantly at war with you. And if you don't understand that, you are one stupid Christian. I'm just going to say it. I could use the nice King James Version, brutish, but I'm not going to do that tonight because most people don't even know what that means. Stupid is what it means. And yes, the Bible uses it. Don't be a stupid Christian. I see Christians all the time that think they are so smart. They think they know the Bible so well. And you start talking about spiritual warfare and dealing with demons, and they want to mock and laugh, and they act like they got everything together, but they're getting beaten to pieces. They're getting beaten up in their families, in their marriages, their kids. They're just getting whipped. If people knew what was going on in their minds and their thought life, they would run for cover because they have no knowledge of how to fight the devil off and control their thoughts and make and bring every thought to the obedience of Christ. So I want to just be clear tonight. Let's just look at this. This was a few years ago. I looked this up. If you do just a quick search in any Bible program, like I have eSword here on my computer, just do a quick search in the New Testament of the word devil. I think it came up with 66 references to the word devil. That's not counting devils or Satan or evil spirits, or unclean spirits, or the dragon, or the serpent, serpents and scorpions, as Jesus called them. I looked up in the entirety of the Bible, I think I came up with almost 300 references to Satan, to demons, to evil spirits, to fallen angels. Think about that, folks. Come on now. The Bible speaks that much and that often about it. I mean, I could talk about it in every one of the four Gospels. In the book of Romans, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, in Galatians, in Ephesians, in 1st and 2nd Peter, I mean, in the book of Revelation. We could just keep going. I mean, in the book of 1st John, in Jude, the devil is mentioned. Satan is mentioned. Demon spirits are mentioned. This is not something hidden under a rock that you have to dig out. This is not a theological, difficulty that we have to, you know, pry into church history to find. These are issues that are plainly in the scriptures. Jesus even said, he said, in my name, the first sign he said that would follow believers, he said, in my name, you will cast out demons. Jesus went about healing the sick, casting out demons, and teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. So Jesus said, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these. I mean, that's John 14:12. So Jesus was all about confronting the devil in people, exposing the devil's works. He talked about the devil a great deal. We know about his temptation in the wilderness, being with Satan for 40 days. I mean, think about that. The ministry of Jesus began with his baptism of John, and then he was driven by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to spend 40 days with the devil. Now, how would you like that vacation? 40 days of fasting and prayer and spiritual warfare, being tempted and tried on every level, spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, and emotions. Jesus was being tempted by Satan to sin, and Jesus kept fighting him off, resisting him with the word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, it is written. You know, get behind me, Satan, Jesus said. And finally, the devil left him after those 40 days of temptation. Listen, the Christian walk is a walk of spiritual warfare. It is a walk of learning to walk in intimacy with God, to know him, to know his word, to know his spirit, to learn to hear his voice and to know his presence. After that, though, you will, if you have been born again and Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you will experience many agonizing, difficult, different attacks of Satan and his demon spirits. You are going to either learn to fight or you're going to be overcome. Now, that being overcome may not be in the physical sense of you may not be destroyed by a sickness or a disease. You may not be killed prematurely, but it can be a matter of life and death. It can be a matter of health. But it may just be enough to deceive you, to get you into false teaching and false doctrines, to get enough to mess you up, to mess your kids up. So this is something we need to learn. What gives Satan place in our life? You know, the Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. He said, neither give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. Now, he's speaking this to Christians, so that means that Christians could give place to the devil. If he has to say, don't do it, don't give place to the devil, if it was impossible to do, why did he waste his breath? Well, we could say that that scripture was not inspired by the Holy Spirit then. If we say, oh, no, Christians that are saved, the devil can't touch them. No, Paul said, don't give the devil place. So it is possible, and we're going to show that tonight, to give the devil place in your life. And if you give him place, he will take it, and if you give him an inch, he will take a mile, and if you give him enough rope, he's going to think he's a cowboy, and he's going to try to hang you. That's the way Satan and his demon spirits work. Now, we're going to read some familiar passages, but let these things sink in tonight. First of all, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, it's not automatic. You have to do something. You have to fight. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places. For that reason, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always. Now, I'm just going to stop right there, because here we have the Apostle Paul speaking to one of the strongest churches in the first century, the Church of Ephesus. Spirit-filled, they all spoke in tongues, they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit, they operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy. But this was the place where Paul went, and if we go back to Acts chapter 19, we see that when he went there and he led these 12 men, these 12 disciples, into the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they says they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and the church of Ephesus was born through another Pentecost. And the church of Ephesus was born immediately as Paul stayed there and began to develop and build this church. Immediately, there was a confrontation between the Christians, the apostle, the ministers of God, and the supernatural powers of the devil in that area. And, of course, we know that there was this certain people that were demon-possessed, and that the seven sons of Sceva, who were the sons of a priest, decided to go and say, we command you to come out in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. Now, the reason they knew, they saw Paul casting demons out, and they thought, well, this is pretty cool. We'd like to do this too. And so they start using the name of Jesus. And, of course, the demon-possessed man, the demon spoke through the man and said, of course, the famous line, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then he jumped on them, the demon-possessed man, under the influence of the demons, jumped on the man and beat them, and they ran away, it says, naked and wounded. And, folks, that would pretty much describe the American church, naked and wounded, just beaten up, thinking you have some kind of authority that you've never really delved into, you've never really understood, you've bought into cliches. Oh, yeah, I used the old Pentecostal one. You know, I got the victory. You know, I'm covered by the blood. Nothing can touch me. It's just this stuff that we say, and it's much more. How would you put it? It's much more detailed than that. A wrestling match, a boxing match. There's much more to it than just two guys jumping into a ring and slinging at each other. There's training that's involved. There's subtle moves. There's understanding the different strategies and different holds in wrestling and how to counter those holds. And you know, that's why. And I bring that up because you said we wrestle not. It's wrestling. It's fighting. It's hand-to-hand combat. It's not some distant thing. It's not, folks, listen, it's not a metaphor. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's spiritual warfare is not a metaphor. It is real. And Paul said to take the whole armor of God. And this is what I love. And this is something that just stood out to me. And if you guys at any point jump in here. But he says here, the first part of the armor, he says, you better take to you to be able to stand against the wiles, the attacks, the fiery darts, the deceptions, the craftiness of the devil. He said, you better take the truth. This is so important. The truth of the Word of God. The problem is we have a bunch of Christians out there that think they know things, but they're not walking in the truth. They don't even know how to do it. They don't even know the scriptures. I mean, I'm just going to bring this up again, but there's a whole group of Christians out there that mock and ridicule me, my church, this ministry, people within this ministry, where we talk about accursed objects. And an object can be demonic, it can have a demonic spirit attached to it, and it can, and if you bring it into your home or put it on your body or put it in your vehicle, that you can become oppressed and accursed and attacked, that you're giving place to the devil through an accursed object. So we have Christians mock and ridicule us over that, even though it is in the scriptures. It is truth. It is a spiritual truth taught in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And yet we've got these Christians who think they're walking in the truth. So let me just tell you this. If you think you're putting on the armor of God and you've got dream catchers and Roman Catholic statues and, Buddhas and willow tree angels and other things I'll talk about here in a minute, essential oils, or you've got, you know, different, the peace symbol, which is the Antichrist symbol. A lot of symbols that people think they know what they are and they're not. If you have these things in your house, you have given place to the devil and you're not obeying the scriptures and you're not walking in the truth. So you are exposed. And let me just say, it says here the girdle of truth. Now, men, we know one thing. In a fight, you can be the heavy favorite, right? But one blow down under can put you on your knees quickly, out of breath, sometimes throwing up.
That's true.
A little girl can put you down, right? If you don't have that piece of armor on. And that's why I believe he put it first. It's the most sensitive area, and it's an area that can end the fight quickly. Truth. Simple truth. The simple truth that we have to deal with demons and devils and Satan every day. Simple truth. That we have to bind the devil, resist the devil. That we have to make sure we're not giving place to the devil. In our homes, or through our eyes, what we see, through our ears, what we hear. Simple truth. Truth is what sets the captives free. Amen. Y'all want to? Hey, jump in.
I mean, the objects that I was being called certifiably insane for saying that a piece of wood could have power. And even, you know, even talking about the willow tree angels and art, I mean, even art that is of Jesus or of something Christian, if it's painted by the wrong people, if it's painted by witches or Satanists and they put curses on them and you bring them into your house, then you're accursed. I mean, you have to know the people's art and the people's stuff that you're bringing into your house. I mean, it's just, it's incredible at the ridicule that is brought on by just stating biblical truth.
Amen. Let me give the scripture. Since we're talking about this, we'll just go with this part of the discussion. Let's just talk about accursed objects for a minute. Okay, Deuteronomy, right? A lot of people say, oh, well, we're not under the law, we're under grace. Well, no, you're not out from under the scriptures. Now, there's certain principles taught in the Old Testament that God didn't have to reteach in the New Testament because they just carried over. They're just spiritual principles. But I can prove where the principle I'm about to read from Deuteronomy is carried over into the New Testament. We'll show that in just a second. But let's see what God taught the Israelites, his chosen people. Remember the typology, the imagery God gave us. They came out of Egypt, the wicked pagan world. They came out of that world. They were slaves to that world. And God brought them out through the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. And we're going to talk more about this aspect. But don't forget the Egyptian side of this. But God brought them out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb. Then we have, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says that they passed through the sea. And then they passed through the cloud of God's presence. So they said they were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So it talks about a water baptism and a spirit baptism in the presence of God, Holy Spirit baptism. So you see the typology there. Well, then he goes in and, of course, he begins to teach them as they are going to go into the promised land and they're going to inherit. The Bible said they're going to have houses that they didn't build, and they're going to have land and gardens that they didn't plant. So they're going to inherit some things from some of the pagan people that will be driven out of the land at that time. Now, let's read it. This is Deuteronomy 7, right? We're going to read verses 25 and 26 here, but this is what he says. He says, "The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them." He said, "Nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." So the Lord is very clear here to the Israelites. He says, don't bring any of the graven images of their gods. In fact, burn them with fire. Don't desire, even if there's silver and gold on them, don't even desire that silver and gold. Well, you say, what's wrong with silver and gold? Well, nothing by itself. But the fact that it was attached to this graven image, to something that was used in another religion, a false religion, and God cursed it, and it itself has the presence of demonic forces on it. God said, even the silver and the gold that's on it is cursed. And then he said, don't take it to yourself, lest you be snared therein. Now, the word snare means you can fall into sin. That's what the word means, fall into sin through having the wrong object in your possession, right? And then he says, it's an abomination to the Lord. Not just that the Lord doesn't like it. He detests it. He detests these graven images and these objects and these images and these symbols from these pagan religions and these demonic religions. He hates these things. He says, neither shall you bring this abomination into your house. Don't bring them into your house. He said, lest you be a cursed thing like it. Now, what makes an object cursed? It's because of the demonic force, the demonic power that's on it is what makes it cursed. So he's saying if you bring a cursed object into yourself or into your house, that you will become just like it, meaning you will have demons allowed to oppress and afflict and attach themselves to you. I mean, we just saw this just recently with these three girls that played with the Ouija board, and they had to call the medics because they had to be taken to the hospital. They were wounded and acting crazy, but they became demon-possessed just simply by taking the Ouija board into themselves and trying to play the game. You see, you start playing with this stuff. You start taking it unto yourself. You open the door to become a cursed thing like it, to have the same demons attached to it begin to attach themselves to you. And this is why so many people are screwed up in the world. They think it's no harm going to a fortune teller or to a medium or to a seance or to having their palms read. And all these things that God said are witchcraft and they are forbidden to his people. Horoscopes. I mean, you could go just down the list here. Tarot card readings, tea leaf readings, pendulum readings, all these goofy things people do, divining rods. I mean, all of this stuff is witchcraft, and God calls it witchcraft, and he said he doesn't want us to have any of the paraphernalia, any of the games, any of the card decks, any of the horoscopes, nothing that comes from the worship of the stars or the sun or the moon or anything from these false religions that worship these other gods, nothing, no object, no image. No picture, no, you know, the word idol also means image, so it can be a picture. It doesn't even have to be a statue or some little graven image thing. So here it is in the Old Testament. It couldn't be more clear. Now we're going to read a few more verses in the Old Testament. This goes over to Joshua chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 here. He says, and it came to pass, at the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And the city shall be accursed, even it and all that is therein, to the Lord. And then he goes on to say, to the Lord, only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that were sent. And ye in any wise keep to yourselves, and he says, ye in any wise keep to yourselves from the, keep yourselves rather from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed when you take the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. But all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord, and they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the Lord gave them specific things. Don't take anything unto yourself of the accursed things from the city of Jericho, from the pagan people. Don't take anything. And so he says, but the silver and the gold you can bring into the treasury. So this time he allowed the silver and gold, but it was strictly going to be for the Lord's use, for the Lord's purposes. Now let's just keep reading here, right? But we had a little problem. This is Joshua 7, 1 and 10 through 13, but he says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And the men of Ai smote of them 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even to Shabirim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen, and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. Now here's the story of Jericho. God tells them before they go in through Joshua, don't take anything from that city, no object, into your possession. Zero. He says, if you do, you're going to bring in a curse. You're going to make Israel a curse. You're going to trouble Israel. And he says very clearly here, it says, because they did this, Achan did this, one man, the next battle they went to that they should have won easily, 36 men died. And Israel ran from their enemies. And it said, because they had taken the accursed thing unto themselves, objects, we'll find out what they are in a second, it says that Israel could not stand before their enemies. Folks, the reason you keep getting beaten up by temptation, by the devil, by depression, by sexual lust and immorality, a lot of it comes into your home through your TV set.
Amen.
Through your movies.
And your music.
And your music. and your video games. But a lot of it you're bringing into your house, just bring it in. People are giving it to you as Christmas gifts, and you're going, oh, how cute, the little fat Buddha, he's so cute. Let me put him in the kitchen. No, no, no. God is serious about this. And he said, the reason you can't stand against the enemy? Listen, this is why a lot of you keep falling into sexual sin. It's why a lot of you will find yourself turning into a cursing fit. Or you'll do fine for a little while, and all of a sudden you'll just go and get drunk. And you don't know why you can't keep from dealing with it. It's because you're living in a contaminated, demonic atmosphere. You're not walking in the truth of Scripture, and so you cannot stand before your enemy because you're exposed in the middle, and the wiles of the devil and the arrows of the devil and the attacks of the devil are hitting you hard, and you just can't. You're not going to be able to stand. That's why you keep falling.
That's right.
Let's read a little bit more here. He says that, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Who were accursed? They were accursed. The whole nation was accursed because one man decided to take a Babylonian garment from Jericho and a wedge of gold and silver into his house. Right? Let's keep reading. He says, up, he told Joshua, the Lord did, up, sanctify the people, say, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in the midst of you, O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You cannot stand. Now, for those of you, we got skeptics who go, oh, they're reading the Old Testament. So let's go to the New Testament. I made mention of this a minute ago. But we're going to go to Acts chapter 19. This is important because if this principle continued, we would find it in the New Testament. And so Paul is at the city of Ephesus, which had a great temple for the goddess Diana, for the demon god Diana. And, of course, this was an area where it said that there was a great business going on there of people making statues to Diana. You know, it was a big tourist place. So everybody went there to see the statue of Diana. Maybe some didn't necessarily worship Diana, but they bought the little statues of Diana so they could go home and put them on their little, you know, desk like people do. And, you know, to say, hey, you know, I've been to Ephesus. Look what I got. I got a little statue of Diana. Oh, well, you don't believe in Diana. Well, no, but it's cute. You know, it's a souvenir. Well, anyway, we know the story, but we're going to read a little bit of this here. Let's just go. We talked about this earlier, but this was the riot in Ephesus. But we'll just go to verse 11. And we could read the whole thing. But in verse 11, we'll start reading there. It says, and God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. So Paul was having to deal with a lot of evil spirits, casting evil spirits out of people. It says, then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, chief of the priests, which did so. It says, and the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many believed and came. That means many believed in Jesus as the Lord, as God, as the Messiah, and they came, I believe that means they came to the church, they came to Paul, and they confessed, and they showed their deeds, what they were doing, what they were into. Look what it says. We know that it was witchcraft. We know that there was witchcraft books and occult books and things, because the next verse says, many of them also which used curious arts, magic arts, witchcraft arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Now, where do you think that these pagans who didn't know the Bible Where do you think they got the idea to burn these witchcraft books? The Apostle Paul. Because you know what he did? I'm sure he taught them what the book of Deuteronomy said, what we just read a minute. Burn their junk with fire. And it's exactly what they did. And when the people of Ephesus came, believed in the Lord Jesus, and they came to Paul, and they confessed their deeds and their sins, and they truly repented, it was evidenced in the fact that they burned their witchcraft arts, their books, their, you know, now witches have what's called the Book of Shadows, where they keep the list of their spells and the effects of their spells and all of their different dreams and spiritual encounters they have with spirits. Folks, this right here is clear that we see the principle of Deuteronomy 7 and in the book of Joshua, what we read, we see the principle carried over into the New Testament. And I could take more time to show you this in the New Testament, but that ought to be enough for the skeptics out there that want to cry Old Testament, New Testament stuff. Burn them with fire. Don't keep them. I don't know how many times I've said this. I know people that are listening out there and you've listened to our podcast and things, you know that I've said if you break up with the devil, you give him back his stuff. Now, the way you give him back his stuff is burn it up with fire. I could share many testimonies. We may just share some testimonies in just a few minutes. But what we're going to do right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back on this. I want you to call in tonight. If you're out there listening, you have a question, you have a comment, you want to discuss this, or you want to share something, some aspect of this, I want you to call in tonight. It's 347-884-8566. It's 347-884-8566. When we come back, we're going to share some of our personal testimonies with some of these accursed objects. We'll get into some that are obvious and some that are not so obvious. We'll talk about those. But stay with us. Like I said, we'll be back in just 1 minute.
Long before they called it hyper grace, the Lord had me call it grace abuse. Back in 1997, I wrote my first book entitled Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival. This book is about the false doctrine of once saved, always saved, or unconditional eternal security. I believe this doctrine and the abuse of this subject of grace is one of the biggest issues in the church today. Get your copy of Grace Abuse, One of the Greatest Hindrances to Genuine Revival today at deanodal.org. Grace is not a license to sin. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio. Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Keep on.
You're back, and we are back, and you're listening to Prophecy Quake here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odle, and we have a caller here. We're going to take this call, and are you there?
Dean?
Yes.
Yeah, how can you get, if you get your palm read, you said that can cause demons? Is that true?
Yes. If you participate in any type of witchcraft or occultic activity, any kind, you open yourself up to a demonic force.
So just like the palm reading at a fair, that can do it.
Absolutely. Most of those people at the fairs are, you know, of course some people are just goofing around, but most of them are actually trying. But it's more the act of, whether it's through ignorance or whatever, you're disobeying the scriptures. So when any time you disobey God's word, you give place to the devil. Now, I'm not saying that that moment you become demon-possessed. A lot of people misunderstand what I'm talking about there. Now, can it lead to full demon possession? Yes. The Bible gives us a degrees of demonic defilement. Some people have... You know, we see the woman in Luke that had one demon, spirit of infirmity. Then we see, you know, Mary Magdalene in Luke 8 where it said she had seven demons left her. And then we see the man that was the Gadarene demoniac that said he had a legion of demons, which means can be anywhere between 2 and 6,000. And he was the one totally demon-possessed. So it can happen in degrees. And this is why God said, what's that? Go ahead.
In 1998, I was just at this little street festival they have here. They just had a palm reading. You know, they're selling things beside the people selling paintings and all that. It was, you know, it's a downtown street festival. And I just did it. And then like a month after that, I went into, they told me it was depression, but for 3 years I went and had every medical test done. I mean, you could think of. I mean, it was just the worst time of my life.
Absolutely. See, I believe that. My mother passed away in 2010, but I remember my mother talking about her and some others in my family used to go to fortune tellers quite a bit, and they used to go to some serious ones. And this one fortune teller told my mom certain things that happened, and particularly between her and my dad and the man, you know, the divorce and who she would marry. And I've always looked at that because it wasn't too many years after that that my mom was diagnosed with cancer, Hodgkin's, and had a huge tumor in her chest and really, had to go through chemotherapy, radiation. But I've always looked at that as what, you know, no one else in my family has ever had cancer. Why was my mom unique? Well, out of all of us, she was the only one that really got into going to these fortune tellers and these psychics. And so I've always felt like that opened the door for the devil to attack her. And I praise God she got. But go ahead.
I only did it that one time, but that's pretty much when my life went to crap. I mean, it just went crazy. I mean, you and I have talked about all the bad things. Don't say who I am, but you know who I am.
I won't.
And maybe you can get rid of it or help me. Tell me how.
We will do that, brother, because you can, and that's the good news. And that's why we do these kind of shows, or, you know, why I preach on this stuff, because I've seen, if I hadn't learned this stuff, my friend, I would be in a similar place. The devil tried to destroy me, and so I just got in the scriptures, and I found people who knew more than I did, and I said, help me break these powers of darkness off of me and get rid of them out of my life. So I learned the process of cleaning out my spirit, my soul, my body, my house, you know, my mind. And if I hadn't, depression was trying to destroy me as well. And
you know what all it did. I don't know if I ever told you everything, but
I know a little bit.
I just want to know how to get rid of it.
Brother, you and I will talk privately soon, and we'll address these things because you can get rid of them.
All right. Well, I'm listening to you out here, so.
Hey, man, we love it. Appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling and sharing your testimony and sharing, because you know what, that right there is going to help somebody. Maybe somebody listening tonight's been tempted to go, you know, play around with a fortune teller or a psychic. You know, it's getting real popular on TV, and people are playing with this. And you know, you're sharing that testimony, maybe it'll help someone not do that.
If that's what did it, I mean, that was right like 2 weeks before that. I mean, it's just like. My whole life just fell apart. I mean, just out of the drop of a hat. That was the peak of my life. I mean, everything. Just bought a brand new house, great job there. And I just fell apart. I mean, completely fell apart. And I always wondered why. It took me years and years to even, it was like walking around, I don't know, like somebody had a veil over your face all the time. You can't hardly, everything just seems weird. It was weird. It's very strange. And it just ruined me. And when you said that, I started thinking about it. So I thought I'd call you. It never,
man.
Anyway, I'll let you get back to this.
Hey, man, you know, I hate you went through that. But you know what? Somebody's going to be helped. And you're going to make it through this. And you're going to get rid of that stuff and break off that curse and that spirit that's been, that evil spirit that's been hanging out with you since that event. You can run him off in Jesus' name and get free from that. But again, thank you for calling and sharing, brother. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Thanks, Dean. Yeah, take
care. God bless.
See you again. Bye.
Bye. All right. Okay. Folks, you heard the testimony right there. You heard the testimony of someone, and again, he's an old-time friend, gone back many, many years ago. Of course, I didn't know all the details. I didn't even know that event had happened in his life. But he's recognizing, boom, I go to a fortune teller, I get my palm read, my life after that, 2 weeks later, everything begins to fall apart. And, you know, depression and, you know, a lot of people, listen, a lot of people end up in mental institutions because they open the door to demon spirits. You know, I do believe, now let me say this very clearly, I believe that the brain is a physical organ and it can have something physically wrong with it. I know I've had concussions and cracked my skull open. I know that the brain can have something wrong with it and it need to heal. But folks, when you mess with the devil's stuff at all, whether you're ignorant or whether you're not ignorant, you just think you're invincible. Whatever your justifications or why you did it, that makes no difference. It's when you play with it, it will come into your life and begin to destroy you. And mostly it comes into your mind. And that's what the devil's after, is to destroy your mind and use you as a puppet as long as he can. And then once he can't use you as a puppet, then he'll try to get you to kill yourself or kill somebody else or live in some addictive, destructive behavior until you kill yourself. And we know this because the scriptures, you know, they brought a demon-possessed boy to Jesus to cast the demons out of him one time. And at first they brought him to the disciples, and the disciples couldn't do it. And so they brought him to Jesus finally, and Jesus said, you know, when did this begin? And the man said, when he was a child. And then he said, The father of the little boy said, oftentimes the spirit has tried to cast him into the water to kill him and into the fire to harm him. You know, these movies, a lot of these horror movies and stuff these people make of these spirits and these entities attacking the children and trying to harm children, all this is real, folks. All this is real. I've been to Africa. I've been to Africa several times to preach and minister. I've stayed a whole month in Nigeria. I can tell you that they believe it because they see it every single day out there of messing with what the results of going to the witch doctors. You know, and this is what's so sad. They will go to the witch doctors for some kind of healing for, you know, a fever or you know, a cut or, you know, a wart or whatever, they'll go to the witch doctor because they fear these men, because they've seen these men demonstrate these miracles, these signs and wonders, and so they believe that they're powerful men. And they'll go, and here's what the devil can do, and this is something we'll have to talk about a little bit. But these witch doctors and like the Asian healers, the Reiki healers, yes, I said Reiki, that a lot of Christians are getting into, Reiki healers, whether acupuncture, acupressure, with the reflexology, and now with the essential oils, all this stuff that comes from the East, all these different healing methods and healing ideas, right? The big amazing thing is sometimes you can get healed from it, but because the demon causing the sickness will move around to some other spot, but later you're going to have another problem. For instance, we have a couple, a family in our church that we know very well, that through their ignorance, they are strong Christians, love Jesus, walking with Jesus, trying to walk according to the word, but ignorant to this until they came to our church. But they were ignorant and had one of their children had asthma. And so they, you know, they had prayed about it and the asthma didn't go and they had done several different things. And so, you know, of course, moms tend to get fearful and worried about when the kid's having trouble breathing. And you get desperate sometimes. You're like, well, I'll just try something else. So they took their son to an acupuncturist, an Asian healer. This is a pagan. This is not a Christian. This is not in the name of Jesus. This is one of the so-called holistic healing methods from Eastern religions. And so they took their son to acupuncture with the needles. And this Asian lady did all her little needle things, poking them in the different places, of course. And the later, of course, they took him home. Everything was fine. And the asthma was gone. Wow. And see, this is where Christians get lured in, and this is where a lot of people get lured into Satan's power and the demonic, because he will cause something to work for you. He will cause something, you know, like a psychic or a fortune teller or a seance will tell you something. You go, oh, there's no way you could know that. You didn't know Uncle Jim or you didn't know Uncle Bob, and, you know, how could you tell me that? So something supernatural will happen. And so what began to happen, though, is their son began to have these fits of rage. He would go ballistic, off, out of control, couldn't control himself. I mean, his dad is an ex-Marine and would have to, you know, bear hug him and basically try to pin him down to stop him from hurting himself or hurting somebody in the house. I mean, he would go into these uncontrollable fits of rage, and this family was getting desperate. And so finally, we were talking to them, counseling with them, trying to figure out what in the world's going on here. And, of course, I knew something demonic. There's some doorway open. Some place has been given to the devil. So sure enough, after a few things happen and a few things come out about, you know, we kid with them. We love them and they love us, so we can say this. I won't say their names on here, but they know who they are. They may be listening tonight. But they know we love them. We call them our hippies because they'll try anything. And so they... we finally figured it out when we found out that the acupuncture thing. So we set their son down, and we prayed over him in the name of Jesus. Well, first of all, his parents asked God for forgiveness for participating in a pagan occultic healing method. And so they asked God's forgiveness for that sin. Sin is one thing, a demon's another. And so God, in his mercy, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. Jesus will forgive us of our sins and heal and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So they confess their sins to the Lord, and the blood of Jesus washed the sin away. So then the devil doesn't have legal right to stay there. And so then I just calmly and quietly, sometimes I get pretty rowdy, but not with children, and I very calmly, very quietly, I bound the demons. I said, in the name of Jesus, I bind the demons of divination, witchcraft, occultism, Hinduism, Buddhism. I bind these demons that came in through acupuncture. I break their power. I pull down their strongholds. I command them to go from this young man, from this child, in Jesus' name. And we prayed over that. We prayed over a few other things. And since that time, he's never had another one of those uncontrollable fits of rage, and his parents, of course, are thrilled. And guess what? The asthma stayed gone. because we got rid of the demon that was playing his little games. But see, they gave place to the devil, and this happens a lot with kids, with parents doing things, again, either just out of ignorance or just being stubborn and stupid and like, you know. And folks, I'll just say this. A lot of your kids' toys are demon gods and goddesses, little images and little idols, and you wonder why little Timmy and little Susie is having nightmares and wants to sleep with you every night and is tormented and scared and you know, wetting the bed when they should be going to the potty. And you wonder why all these crazy things are going on, why they get sick all the time, there's fevers in the house all the time, all the time, all the time. Your rooms, their rooms probably full of little monsters, little demons,
like Superman or yeah. The Green Lantern or any of these superheroes that are out there. I mean, Superman's from another planet, and aliens don't exist. Aliens are demons. Green Lantern has some green power. I mean, it's all of these superheroes that have other powers. I mean, Wonder Woman, you know, you going all the way back to the 80s, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man, I mean, he's genetically modified. He's no longer human. You get into all of these different superheroes. I mean, we could even go down to Walt Disney. I mean, Disney movies that have all these subliminal messages in them or all kind of witchcraft, like this new movie Frozen and all this, have all these incantations. Rapunzel, the Disney movie Rapunzel, has all these incantations as quote-unquote songs. Your kids quote it. Your kids run around saying it. I mean, and you wonder why they can't control themselves. They're scared all the time. They can't go to sleep at night. And their behavior is atrocious. Well, they're playing with demons. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just, I'm sorry if that offends you, but that's the truth. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know in my own personal house, we've dealt with that issue, gotten rid of this stuff. And the kids, we've turned the TV completely off because it's nothing but filth. I mean, even kids' shows are just horrendous. I mean, you got all these PBS shows that just promote all kind of new age religion subtly. You have to be aware and understand what you're dealing with. You get rid of this stuff, the kids' behaviors completely change.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's no matter how much you paddle them, yes, corporal punishment, no matter how much you discipline them, no matter what you do, if they're still playing and dabbling with this stuff, you're going to have issues with your children's behavior. Mm-hmm. Get it out. I mean, there's just no other way around it. Get it out and gain control of your house again. You've lost control. And it's time to cleanse your house.
Amen.
That's what a lot of times people are ignorant of, the fact of the power of things that are seen visually or would are heard audibly. For example, a lot of people who could actually recite song lyrics from 10, 15, 20 years ago, like the back of their hand, and they probably couldn't recite 10 verses out of the Bible. Look back, and this is a good analogy that I like to use with people to prove that point. Look back in some of the songs that you've listened to all your lives and how these songs or this music, these beats, enticed you into an emotional change, your behavior change. Maybe it fired you up, quote unquote, psyched you up for a sporting event. Maybe it got you ready for a night of sinful partying or something of that ilk. These things get ingrained in your minds. And what you don't realize is oftentimes there's a lot of satanic messages contained within them. So you're actually walking around day to day with all this junk inside of you. So it's really paramount that you get rid of that junk. And the way to do that is by going through a deliverance ministry with people that have the knowledge and the power and authority that we've been given to take care of that situation. The things that we're talking about this evening, folks, are real. They're not of imagination. As Pastor Kevin just said, there's many a household right now that is in disarray, and the parents have no idea why so. Well, this evening we're showing you, biblically showing you, how the things that are in your lives that you've allowed to become part of your lives can be the very things that Satan is using to bring you down and under his submission without you even knowing it. So please listen to what we're saying this evening and take actions to rid yourself and your homes and your lives of these destructive things that are actually stumbling blocks in your walk with Christ.
Amen. Music is powerful. I mean, we all know that Lucifer, or his real name in Hebrew, if you look in Isaiah 14 and look up the Hebrew, Lucifer was the Latin translation. His real name was Halal when he was an angel. But the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel 28 that he was the anointed cherub. He was in the Garden of Eden. Of course, we know who that's talking about, the serpent, Satan, the dragon, Halal, the fallen angel. We know that he was there, and it says there in Ezekiel 28 that he, when he was created, he had tabret and pipes built into him. He was created as not just an angel, an archangel, a cherub, but he was created with musical abilities to create sounds and create music. And Satan in this world, where the Bible says he is the god of this world, since man chose sin instead of God, that Lucifer, Halal, Satan, became the god of this world, and he uses music and the music industry, he uses that to control and manipulate the thoughts, the minds, the hearts of people from the time they're little bitty kids all the way up to they're an adult. And I appreciate Pastor Billy sharing that, because one of the things that brought me back to the Lord, you know, I've shared my testimony that I got saved when I was very young, you know, about 11 years old, powerful experience with God, but I didn't know what it meant to walk with God or to pray or to read my Bible or to seek him. And I didn't know what to put out of my life and change. You know, I was just a kid, you know. And then, of course, my parents, right after this salvation experience, my parents divorced and we quit going to church. So I really didn't get to learn and become a disciple of Jesus. So I began the gradual drift away from God in my, you know, as I got into my teen years. And so in junior high and high school, you know, that's, you know, starting all the sex and the drugs. And of course, the music, the rock music, the pop music, the rap music. I mean, I had the first, you know, I had the Sugar Hill Gang Rapper's Delight on vinyl. Okay? I mean, I had the Commodores. You know what I'm saying? I had, you know, what was it? Hot-Blooded, Foreigner, and Kiss, and all that stuff. I mean, you know, as a little kid, I remember listening to music, and I could feel these different forces coming off of it. Some of them, you know, some of it made you feel like, you know, just having a good time. Others that just had this dark feeling coming off of it. But I remember when I was 19 and in my first year of college and the summer break, I went out to spend with my dad in Oklahoma, then ended up working in Arkansas. It was a long story. But the first thing that this brother started preaching to me, among other things, he confronted me about my alcohol, my drinking problem, and showed me where no drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so the conviction of the Holy Spirit began to work. But then he saw how deeply, you know, involved I was in rock and roll music. I mean, just, you know, heavy metal and rock and roll. I just loved it all, you know, from Bon Jovi to Def Leppard to Van Halen, AC/DC. I was into all of them, Deep Purple, Bad Company, you know, all the old rockers, Led Zeppelin. I mean, just big time into the whole rock scene. And I remember, you know, like with Motley Crue and some of the others, I remember the Pentagrams, I remember some of the, you know, some of the obvious lyrics like Van Halen's Running with the Devil or, you know, The Children of the Beast that was on one of Motley Crue's albums. And so I remember some of the satanic element, but the devil blinds you and he hides that from you. Well, anyway, this Christian brother that I was working for in Arkansas gave me, and yes, I have to say it was 1987, so he gave me a cassette tape series of the satanic element and the Satanism behind rock music and the rock musicians, and a lot of stuff in their own words. So yes, some of the backmasking stuff, but a lot of what they lived, what they preached, the messages that they were putting out in straight English. And as I listened to that whole series, I was at work and I listened to one, you know, I'd listen to hours of it. I mean, because it was a bunch of tapes and I would listen to hours of it during the workday. And so I remember my eyes being opened at how Satan really owned and controlled the music industry. Everybody from country to pop to rock to metal. I really realized he controlled it all. His message was in it all. You know, do what you want, do your own thing, you know, no rules, rebellion, and then sometimes just outright Satanism. I mean, AC/DC couldn't be more clear. You know, I'm on the highway to hell. No one's going to stop me. Motley Crue, of course, we don't even have to mention Ozzy Osbourne, do we? But, I mean, all these groups I listened to, and I began realizing that I was filling my heart and my mind and my spirit and my soul with Satan's preaching and teaching through his evangelists, the rock and pop musicians. I mean, the Beatles. I mean, they all have, you know, the Beatles on their Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club album had Aleister Crowley, the top Satanist of all time, on there. Of course, Zeppelin, you know, Jimmy Page bought Aleister Crowley's house. And, I mean, we could just go down the list. Yeah, Eagles Hotel California, absolutely all about, you know, Crowley and what's his name, the rocket scientist Jack Parsons, all of them doing their rituals, Babylon Rising, all of that was about Rosemary's Baby. I mean, they were wanting to bring the Antichrist in. I'm just telling you, this is, you know, we think the Eagles were harmless but they're all Bon Jovi. They're all into it, man. Satanist. Of course, like there was the singer Jeff Finholt who had sang with Black Sabbath. I think after Ozzy, he sang with Black Sabbath. He sang with Whitesnake. He sang with Deep Purple. He has an amazing voice. If you don't know who Jeff Finholt is, look up Jeff Finholt. But Jeff Finholt got saved, born again, following Jesus. And he just flat out came and said, man, we were into Satanism. And he said the boys in Deep Purple were deep into it, sick. And, of course, everybody knows Black Sabbath, deep into it. But, folks, listen, Jay-Z, Beyonce, all the Illuminati satanic signs shooting you the one eye, the 3-6s symbol. I mean, they're all into it. DMX. I mean, you just name them. I mean, we could just go down the list. Many of them admit they sold their souls to the devil for fame and fortune. Folks, if you have these CDs or MP3s or these music and their artwork and their covers in your iPods and you're pumping that stuff through your car and through your house and you know, listen, some folks are even pumping it in through the church today. But this is Satan. This is the ultimate of Satan's accursed objects. And so what happened was after I listened to that series, tape series, God really, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit for 3 weeks. I just saw the Lord spoke to me and said, yeah, all these musicians, these rock musicians, all of them are into Satanism and the occult and witchcraft, and they sold their souls for fame and fortune and rock and roll, but your life is no different. That's what the Holy Spirit, I remember the Holy Spirit spoke to me, he's like, your life's no different. You may not have pledged allegiance to Satan. You may not have sold your soul for fame and fortune, but you're living your life just like them in drunkenness and sexual immorality and rebellion and disobedience to the word of God. And you're just opening the doors, door after door after door to Satan, to demon spirits. And I remember when I was 16, I remember a demon spirit appearing over my bed and coming into my body. I mean, I could freak y'all out with some stuff. But I can tell you this much, that, and that's when I tell you depression really came over me. There were a few times that I would get drunk and high on different stuff and want to kill myself. And it was just a mess, man. It was a mess. But one of the biggest things for me and for anyone, really, if you want to get free from Satan's power and oppression and ruling your household and making you fall into sin and be tempted all the time and messing up all the time, you're going to have to deal with the music issue. Mm-hmm. You cannot feed your soul and your spirit. That you can't let that run through your house and think your children aren't going to be affected.
You're tithing your time to the devil.
Say that again.
You're tithing your time to the devil. The time that you spend listening to that music, you're tithing your time to the devil. And you can be going to church regularly. You can be studying the Bible to the best of your ability. But if you're listening to that music, you're tithing your time to the devil. That's plain and simple.
But, you know, even, you know, we've been talking about rock and roll. I mean, you even have country stars, country music just as bad. And you really have to be careful with Christian music.
Amen.
Or so-called Christian music.
Amen.
I mean, you got groups like Need to Breathe, which sound kind of Christianish, but they're not. You have groups like POD, not Christian, but they claim to be. So, you know, if there's only one point probably that you would take out of this, is research the stuff you're listening to and make sure where it comes from. You know, because, like I say, rock, country, Christian, so-called Christian, may not necessarily be Christian. So you got to know. You got to research these groups before you go spend money and, like Pastor Billy just said, tithe your time to the devil.
You know, I marvel because I get emails, Facebook messages, phone calls even from people from all over the country, even all over the world. I mean, I got a call from Kenya the other day. I've got calls from Ireland. I get calls from people from all over the world, people from some from Montana, lady looking for deliverance and freedom. And I'm blown away by the people who tell me they want to live for Jesus. They want to be set free. They want to be set free from their depression, from their addictions, from their sins, their besetting sins that they keep committing over and over and over again. And they want to do it, but they won't stop watching the filth on TV. They won't stop listening to the satanic music and you know, a lot of the filthy messages coming through music. And I mean, you've got to decide. You just got to make a decision to walk away from this world. People all the time talk about, well, you know, your kids are going to miss out. You miss out on what?
Amen.
Miss out on pornography? Miss out on the Naked Channel on TV while you're asleep and they get up and watch, you know, the Playboy Channel that you shouldn't have on your TV? I know that because I did that when I was a kid, right?
Amen.
You know, yeah. I mean, it just, bottom line, you think your kids are going to miss out. Miss out on what? Miss out on satanic music, satanic movies. I mean, even Disney, like he said, like Kevin said a minute ago, Disney movies with the sorcery and the witchcraft, all these new ones coming out. Folks, listen, and the Lord wanted me, and I can almost keep forgetting this, but this is for someone listening tonight. The Lord wanted me to tell you this. I don't know, it may be for more than one person, but this was a specific word. I'm glad that the Lord, he keeps reminding me to say this, so this must be important. But some of you out there, your child, your little 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, whatever, 6-year-old, if they have an imaginary friend that they talk to and it seems real, and if they get mad about it, if you try to make fun of it or something, I'm telling you, that it's not an imaginary friend. Because of something in your house or some sin that's been passed down to them or something, there's a doorway open. There's a place for the devil in your house and with them, and they are interacting with a spirit, and it's not a human ghost. There's no such thing as ghosts. When people die, they either go to heaven or hell immediately. There's no lingering between. You go to heaven or hell immediately. That's why Paul said to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. That's why seances, trying to communicate with the dead, is demonic. and of Satan. It'll open you up to demon spirits. I don't care if some spirit talks through a medium and tells you everything that Grandma Nellie knew. It's not Grandma Nellie. It's a demon posing as Grandma Nellie, who was familiar with her, and that's why the Bible talks about mediums having familiar spirits. And they mimic these things, but these kids, let me tell you, if they've got an imaginary friend, you need to be alarmed. You need to be worried and concerned, and you need to be getting close to Jesus and getting the devil's junk out of your household.
Amen.
I'm serious, because this mess is for real. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the willow tree angel that everybody thinks Christian. And we're going to talk about a little bit about the oils and some of our experiences with people in our church that thought these essential oils were harmless. And then they started using them and demons started coming into their household. We'll talk about that in a minute. If you want to call in 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. We got about 26 minutes. We'll take a short break, and then we will be back to finish the show. We hope you're being blessed. You're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm Pastor Dean Odle. We'll be back in a minute.
Preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. Again, you're listening to Prophecy Quake, and we're going to continue on. If you want to call in, again, we have about 24 minutes left in the show. We would like to hear from you with your testimony or comments. 347-884-8566. 347, that is, 884-8566. So, we said we're going to talk about these essential oils. Of course, there's a couple of different groups out there. There's mainly two suppliers of these essential oils. The original and the first that I know of, the biggest one, was the Young Living Essential Oils. And then, of course, the breakoff from their right-hand man who left Young's was the founder of doTERRA Essential Oils. And, of course, you know, there's the big argument, the big debate, you know, about oils being used to bring healing. Really, you can't find that in the scriptures in the sense of ingesting oils or the aroma of the oils. The Bible is very clear, the New Testament, that the anointing the sick with oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, is an act of faith. It doesn't ever in the New Testament mentions ingesting oils or using diffusers to breathe the oils or any of this other stuff. Most of this comes from ancient Egypt. It comes from the origins, and actually looking at Manly P. Hall, and if you don't know who Manly P. Hall is, he was probably one of the top Freemasons, sorcerers, Illuminati, whatever you want to call him, but he was big time, 33rd degree Freemason, wrote many books back in the 1920s about witchcraft, but he just plainly says it, you know, out there that this stuff is witchcraft and you're operating with demons. I mean, he just tells you that all this stuff, whether it be, you know, all these different techniques and all, he said it all originates from Egypt. So beware of anything that supposedly comes from Egypt, healing, magic arts, because it all goes back there. Just to give you a little bit, this is from Jung's Living Essential Oils. This is some of the spiritual claims and witchcraft jargon used on some of their different oils. For instance, this one, Aroma Life. It says, pulsing with life, this vibrant blend energizes your life force. It is best applied over heart energy, front and back. Note, heart energy is a witchcraft term. Then you have one called, now get this, Dream Catcher. Now, can I just tell you right now that anything from Native American religion is not Christian. It's pagan. It's demonic.
On the one from that he was just talking about was the heart energy. Last night in the discussion that I was having on Facebook, the person I was having the discussion with, later on, close to the end of our talk, when I was about to pass out from exhaustion, she sent me an article on the heart energy and what it is and what it's about from a rabbi in the Kabbalah, which is Jewish mysticism and Jewish witchcraft. And I asked, I said, do you know what the Kabbalah is? And she sent me back a Wikipedia definition of it, or some kind of from some website, and it talks about the occult, witchcraft, and New Age religion, and this heart energy.
Right.
So she was trying to prove her point with an article from a rabbi out of the Kabbalah, which just proved mine.
Exactly.
And it's ridiculous.
And this woman, and this is what you may have failed to say here, this woman that he's having this debate with about these essential oils, who uses as backup the occultic, mystic paganism of the Kabbalah, she's a Christian that goes to a spirit-filled church where both pastors, I say that loosely, they claim to be, where both pastors went to well-known, charismatic Bible schools, and you sit here going, what in the world are they teaching? What in the world? You're going to use what Madonna is into as your backup for something Christian. Madonna, Ashton Kutcher, they're into the Kabbalah. Listen, every ethnic group out there, whether it be Jew, whether it be Muslim, the Muslims have their Sufi men that are the mystics. You know, the Roman Catholics have their mystics. These are people who get deep into New Age and occultic and esoteric practices, and the Kabbalah is one of the worst. Matter of fact, I talk pretty extensively about the Kabbalah in my book, The Polluted Church from Rome to Kansas City, where I talk about how some of this Kabbalah belief system has crept into the church. You know, back a few years ago, the Lakeland revival down there with Todd Bentley, he got into talking about this Emma Angel. And, of course, we've had a whole show about that. But that actually comes from the Kabbalah, because they believe there is a Father God and a Mother God, which is what Wicca is all about. But, you know, here's the thing about these young essential oils. This is just four things. Number one, you know something is fishy when they start attributing spiritual qualities to their products, when they use witchcraft jargon to describe their products, when they place Luciferian symbolism like the rising phoenix, which is a symbol of Satan, on their product guide, and when they teach witchcraft doctrines in connection with the use of their products. So that's a good sign that maybe you're in trouble, that it's not something Christian, even though the devil always tries to slip things into Christians' lives. He always tries to Christianize things. That's what the Roman Catholic Church has done for centuries, is Christianize every pagan practice they possibly can and incorporate it into Christianity. And what do you end up with? Not Christianity. You end up with a pagan soup is what you have, and you end up with a false prophet like Pope Francis, and you end up with billions deceived, right? But let me read the Dreamcatcher one. Oh, boy. Dreamcatcher may be used during meditation and to enhance dreams and visualization. Meditation and visualization are practiced by witches, folks, and other occultists in order to gain contact with the spirit world. I mean, that's the whole reason I wrote The Polluted Church, is to show how that Christians are not supposed to be using meditation that uses chanting or repeated breathing or the use of visualization. Visualization is used in Islamic Sufism. It's used in the Kabbalah, the Jewish Kabbalah mysticism. It's used in Buddhism and Hinduism and in Roman Catholicism with the prayer beads and the repetitious prayers to Mary and the chants. In all these false religions, you see the same thing. Repetitious prayer, meditation that begins to quiet and blank out the mind, and then you see the use of visualization, which is creating images in your own mind, and you begin to interact with them. This is called developing the third eye, where you develop that vision into the spirit realm. And let me just say this. If you develop your contact with the spirit world through these techniques, you are operating on the demonic side. Christians don't initiate these things. We pray. We keep our minds focused on God, on the Word of God. If God so chooses to manifest himself, to give us a vision, to give us a dream, or to manifest his presence, it's not under our control. We can't manipulate it by techniques. If you can manipulate spiritual experiences by techniques, you are operating in witchcraft and demonic power. That's just one of the dream catcher ones. I mean, that's enough right there. What Christian organization would name one of their products after a Native American pagan practice of making dream catchers for spirits? No, sorry. That's demonic. It's opening the door for demonic mess. Let's just go down one. Jasmine. This one says, has been used throughout history for romance and attraction and for balancing the feminine energy of the body. Feminine energy is a clear witchcraft term loved in Wicca, the white witches, you know. But let me just again assure you, whether it's white magic or black magic, it's still from the same source. White magic is not from God Almighty. His power is not magic. It is not witchcraft. Goodness, let's see. There's so much more. We just, like I said, we could just keep reading these. Awaken. Oh, here we go. Awaken. This is one of their oils. Helps bring about inner awareness and awakening. This blend may help you progress toward your highest potential. Inner awareness is regarded by occultists as enlightenment or cosmic consciousness. The goal is to seek a profound and intuitive understanding of the divine nature within. So here we have the very purpose of an oil is to help you do that. Yes.
That must be that purpose-driven oil.
Be careful over there.
I'm sorry. I had to throw that in.
Well, hey, it's true. I mean, we could just read through these. I mean, the phoenix bird on their training material. Listen, you don't pick symbols like that when it's easy to figure out what they are. But listen, here, let me share this. I know we're running out of time tonight, but we had some people in our church that they didn't get into the Young's Living Oil, but they got into the doTERRA. But I think from what I've looked at, Young's is far worse than doTERRA. doTERRA's tried to clean the act up a little bit, but it still comes from the same source. It's either from God Almighty, from the Lord Jesus, his power, or it's gobbledygook, holistic New Age healing attempts. So anyway, some folks in our church, of course, a lady in the community got a couple of ladies in our church involved in the doTERRA oils. Now, actually, I had never even heard of them. I hadn't even heard the term essential oil, so I didn't know what it was. But anyway, I heard them talking about getting into oils and all these oils would help, you know. And I'm not against vitamins or doing things that, you know, natural, comes natural in nature to, you know, help your body. I mean, there are some things that are natural that are fine, but there are some things that are so-called natural that are not. Like, you know, those funky mushrooms that we used to boil and drink and give you an LSD trip. And, you know, of course, we know the cannabis issue. I mean, those are certain plants that you don't need. Now, I will say this. A lot of people, we don't have time to get into this tonight, but a lot of people don't understand that the fallen angels not only got into trying to manipulate the DNA of mankind by the fallen angels having sexual relations with human women and creating a hybrid race to pollute the DNA, but we know from the book of Enoch, which, of course, is not part of the Bible, but is quoted in the Bible and I believe is an ancient text that we don't put on the same level as the Bible, but gives us some historical reference. But it talks about the fallen angels also misusing nature and causing with hybrid plants and teaching women how to become witches and use these different plants and oils and roots and things for potions and spells and so on. So whenever you get off into using roots and so-called things in nature and you start giving them spiritual powers, we're moving into the danger zone there. So anyway, just to share this, a quick few stories. Well, one of the ladies that got involved in this in our church, she had been through a very, very thorough and powerful and dramatic deliverance session because she came out of a family that was deeply involved in Roman Catholicism and also, in Santeria. And, so basically a mixture of Roman Catholicism and voodoo practices and, so anyway, her deliverance was pretty dramatic. I mean, demons coming out of her left and right, you know, some of them coming out with blood coming out of her nose and throwing up, and it got pretty intense a few times with tearing and different things. But she went through a dramatic deliverance and had many physical problems. Like she had partial paralysis on one side of her body. She had constant migraines. But after her deliverance, after we cast the demons out through Roman Catholicism and Santeria and all these other things she was into, the numbness and the paralysis went away on the left side of her body. And, of course, the migraine stopped. She had to learn how to fight as well because the demons try to come back and attack you. But she learned how to fight, and she's gotten a victory over that. But it was pretty intense. But then she does good. Her and her family, they're doing good for a while. No big spiritual battles going on, no sickness, no whatever. And she gets into these oils and starts putting them in the house, starts putting them on the kids, putting them on herself, and boom, all this demonic activity starts coming. They start seeing spirits in the house, dark figures moving, the kids being scared, not being able to sleep at night, sickness, her migraines started coming back, vomiting and throwing up started coming back. So I knew the door got opened, and, of course, that was just one lady. The other lady, her house had been fine, peaceful, no problems, godly lady, praise in her house, you know, been taught these things and, you know, been trying to keep the house clean, been through deliverance, and everything going fine. Well, she brings that those oils into the house, starts using them, buys the diffuser thing to put it into the air. And she starts having at night, she starts feeling things jumping on the bed and moving the bed around, spirits in the house, the dogs freaking out and getting up and looking and nobody around, nobody inside, nobody outside. And the dogs just growling, their hair standing up. And so finally, one day, I go over to her house. We all have a little church get-together with a few of our church family, and we go to her house, and she's got this thing on, this diffuser with this oil, and I hadn't been around it. Well, I get in there, and I've been fine all day. I'm not sneezed. I've not coughed. I'm feeling fine. Man, I start getting sick feeling. I start coughing and hacking. And I mean, almost overwhelming. And I knew it was demonic. And so I said, I went and told my wife, I'm not going to be able to stay here. I'm going to have to leave, or I'm just going to tell her. So she went over and cut it off. The moment she went over and cut it off, my coughing quit. I started feeling better, everything. So finally, I just told her. And so I told her what was going on with me, and then she said what's been going on in her house. And then we started doing a little digging into this and finding out its origins and in Young's Living. Then Doterra came out of Young's Living. And so we started putting two and two together. And of course, the founder of Young's Living is deeply involved in all kind of New Age mumbo-jumbo and practices. But basically, he's a warlock. And then the guy that does Doterra, he's a Mormon, which the Mormon level of cultism, most people don't have any idea how deeply into the occult Mormonism is, founded by Joseph Smith, who was a 33rd degree Mason, as well as a practicing sorcerer before that, and went on for years doing that. So, again, there's so much we can get into tonight. We're running out of time, but... folks, when it comes down to this stuff, better safe than sorry, is what I say. You know, while I said we would talk about the Willow Tree Angels, and, you know, we're really, again, I don't think we even have time, but my wife had one of those, and I remember the day we figured it out. We'll probably have to cover this on the next time. And you know, I do need to share this. We're going to do another show on this. We'll do it next week. We'll just do part two of this show, where we deal with some of these aspects, and because this is an important thing, there's no way to cover it in 1 2-hour show, all the different aspects of spiritual warfare. Just like I need to share with you about the Willow Tree Angels, a lot, you know, these are sold in Christian bookstores. Everybody thinks they're cute and wonderful, and most Christians have them in their homes, and they have no idea the origin of them or what they are, and or the woman who made them. And it took me a lot of research and some hard lessons to figure it out. But needless to say, the Willow Tree Angels are cursed objects, but we will cover that next week in great detail. Listen, before we leave tonight, here's the important thing to know. Jesus died on that cross. He came and shed his blood and died on that cross to destroy the works of the devil. He rose from the dead the third day. He conquered hell and death, the powers of Satan. But like everything else in the kingdom of God, it has to be possessed by the people of God with faith. We have to believe it. We have to speak it. We have to act on it. We have to do something. This is the big disconnect within the body of Christ. They think, you know, now it's come down to because Jesus died for our sins, now we've got a bunch of people teaching you don't even have to confess your sins or repent to be forgiven. You know, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. Faith, and of course James said faith without works is dead being alone. So folks, everything in the kingdom of God, Jesus did pay for it on the cross and through his resurrection. The blood, the sinless, spotless blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, God in the flesh, broke the powers of Satan. But those things now have to be possessed by us. We have to, you know, that's why it says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It's not talking about becoming like Muslims and killing people. He was talking about spiritual violence where we fight the demonic forces and we press in and we possess what Jesus bought for us. That's with salvation. It's with healing. It's with deliverance. It's with provision. It's with protection. Everything, we must believe it, speak it out of our mouths, press into it through prayer and fasting, and possess it and act upon it. Do what we need to do. I tell people all the time, the Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee from. That means you have to do something. Actively fight against him. You have to push him away. Jesus said in Matthew 12, first bind the strong man and then you can spoil his house. He said, I've given you power that whatever you bind on earth is bound in the heavens. Whatever you loose on earth is loose. Understanding binding and loosing. I bind the demons of depression and heaviness. I bind them in Jesus' name. I rebuke them in Jesus. I command them to go from me. That's doing something. That's resisting the devil. You start having bad thoughts dominate your mind. I cast down these imaginations. I bind these demons, whether it's lust or addiction or hatred or, you know, whatever the devil's trying to push into your brain. Suicide, I bind the spirits of death and suicide. I break your power. I command you to go from me in Jesus' name. I will not kill myself or harm myself. Folks, you know what I'm talking about. These thoughts come into your head when you have no plans on thinking them. And the devil fires these thoughts in our heads and tries to overwhelm us. But the true Christian, the true born-again believer, can call on the name of Jesus. You use the name of Jesus. You bind and resist the demons specifically. And you start putting actions with what you believe. And stuff will happen. You will begin to see a change. But you have to be consistent. It's going to be a war every day. There is a war to fight every day. Satan will not let up. The only time it's going to be over is when Jesus Christ returns, splits the eastern sky, and the Bible says one angel will be sent to bind Satan and cast him into the abyss for 1,000 years. And then Jesus will set up his kingdom on the earth, and there will be 1,000 years of peace from that tormentor, from that tempter, from that oppressor, from that liar, that stealer, that murderer, that is trying to steal our sanity, trying to steal our health, trying to steal our kids. He's going to constantly try to steal until then. So we've got to fight him, and we can fight him and win. You can do it in Jesus' name. Listen, we are out of time tonight. We appreciate you being with us tonight. We hope you've learned something. We feel here, both, I think all of us here feel a little overwhelmed by the subject. There's so much to cover, and we just dove into it tonight. But we hope you've learned something. We hope you've been blessed. But we are out of time. Again, you're listening to Prophecy Quake. You can find us online at deanodal.org. Just look there. Give us an email. Give us a shout. Look for us on Facebook at Dean Odal Ministries, but we'll be here same time next week. God bless.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odal. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodal.org or Facebook, Dean Odal Ministries.